2 Corinthians chapter 6, once again. Answer the call to holy living. Remember, I've made the statement in the last, I guess it was last week and maybe last month. People want God, but they avoid the reading, the meditation, and the preaching of God's Word. The reading of, the meditation on, preaching of God's Word. Answer the call to holy living. It brings us to three distinct calls: inner cleansing of sin, deeper consecration of self, outward conformity to Christ. Outward conformity to Christ, deeper consecration of self, inner cleansing of sin. This particular passage that we're looking at, if we begin at verse number 14 like we have, it tells us that there's a discord between the believer and the unbeliever. There's a discord between righteousness and unrighteousness. There's something about the two that they cannot go together. Light and darkness does not mix. I'm going to begin reading this morning with verse number 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, the Amplified says, therefore, since these great promises are ours, since these great promises are ours, King James said, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness, or bring our consecration to completeness in the fear of God. Answer the call to holy living, first of all, brings us to that thought of a life of separation. Separation from the defilement of sin. Separation from the attitude or the disposition of sin. There must be a destruction to sin in a person's life. One of the problems that exist in the modern church realm is that the gospel is preached, but the gospel doesn't have to change a person's life. But the Bible says, God says, that the gospel will change a person's life. They will make them a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. There's something new that comes about in a Christian's life. When a person gets saved, there is an avoiding of those things that displease God. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's a separation from sin, a separation from the defiling of sin. It's a separation from the fellowship of sin. The affinity of sin, somebody said, must be broken. This morning I want to look at the life of consecration. Last Sunday we looked at life of separation. This morning I want to look at the life of consecration. Consecration. Do we know what consecration is? really, there's two elements to consecration that I want to focus on. Briefly look at it. It doesn't take us very long if we're really serious about it. Maybe that's the biggest problem, is that so many times we're not serious about it. My wife and I had the privilege of being at Preachers and Wives Retreat the last few days, and sometimes we have opportunity to just to sit and share some things. And one of the pastors, Don Raines, some of you know Don Raines, he was telling us, I believe it was Don Raines, that some of his people had gone somewhere else to church. And they went to one of the mega churches, and they had all kinds of things going on, and their kids went to the junior church or the teen church, whatever it was. And when they got home, got back together as a family again, the kids were asked, well, how did you like it? And the child that was being spoken to answered the question and said, well, I guess it was fun. It was all right, but they're not as serious about God as what our church is. Like, wow. It kind of makes you wonder what were they doing? That a child would recognize that they're not quite as serious about God as what our church is. A life of consecration. The first thing that I want to bring to our attention this morning, that in a life of consecration, there is a death to my own way and my own will. Ooh, it got quiet. Didn't expect that. When I'm talking about a death to my own way and will, I'm simply saying that everything about me is surrendered to God. All of the claims of my life, are surrendered to Him. Everything about me is surrendered to Him. Well, we could spend a good bit of time looking at illustrations or people as examples of those that gave of themselves, that their entire life, everything about them was surrendered. Mentioned it last Sunday that the people that we look to as spiritual giants didn't get there by hanging around the edges, but that there was an effort, there was a focus, there was intention about them to seek God's face and to walk with God deliberately and to consecrate themselves. And there was a death of their own will and their own way that gave them freedom in serving God. When you stop and think about it, all the claims of my life must be surrendered to Him. When we stop and think about that, we have to really recognize that that means every detail of my life. I've said it before that a lot of times, or any time that we come to the front of the church to have a baby dedication. The main focus of a baby dedication is the reality of the parent releasing or relinquishing claims to that child. That giving it back to God is the focus. Oh, sure, we will pray the dedicatory prayer and pray that God would surround and touch and anoint and keep them in the straight and narrow way, keep them in the paths of righteousness. We do that. We do focus on that. But you see, the biggest part is the parent. Probably one of the biggest fears in a parent's heart is that in a Christian parent's heart, is that their children don't walk in truth when they get older. I relinquish Three of my children were dedicated. I think they might have all been dedicated. I guess two of them were dedicated in the same church, and one was dedicated in a different church. There was something that had to take place in my heart. There had to be something to take place in my wife's heart that we relinquished, that we dedicated that child to God. We released all the claims of that child to God, that God could do what He wanted. That's not easy to do. I mean, in all seriousness, beyond the thing of standing here and going through the motions, there's something very serious about that effort. And when we look at it on the spiritual aspect of it in our soul, in our heart itself, the death to my own will and my own way is a surrender to all the claims of my own life, that God has right in every area. It's a definite decision, and it's unconditional. One of the things that we hear in modern conversation is this thing of unconditional love. That no matter what I do, somebody will still love me. No matter what happens, somebody still loves me. And we call that unconditional love. Unconditional surrender. Unconditional, decisive giving of myself, surrendering myself of all the claims of myself. When a person is surrendered, listen to me. If you don't get anything else, maybe this is a good thing for you to take home this morning. When a person is completely surrendered to the will of God, they have to guard more against going over the right wall than over the left wall. They have to guard themselves against going legalistic rather than going liberal. Because when a person is completely surrendered and their claims of their life have been surrendered, they want all that God wants to give. The second thing this morning, not only the death to my own will and to my own way, but the second thing is a devotement of all that I am and all that I ever will be. Devotedness. A concentrated effort that all that I am or ever will be is His. And if I am God's, well, somebody said it this way, that if I am God's, it settles the issue of orientation, presentation, and occupation. Somebody said that if I am God's, it settles the issue of direction, deportment, and duty. It settles my direction? Absolutely. Absolutely. Where are you going? Where are you headed this morning? Which direction are you trying to find yourself going in? What way do you want to get there? How do you want to get there? Remember what God's Word is telling us in this passage as we look at this subject of answering the call to holy living. He's telling us that there is something about this lack of ability, of agreement between the idol worship and the temple of the living God. That there's not an agreement between the two. They cannot go hand in hand. I can hear somebody immediately standing up and saying, oh, but wait, Jesus went to eat with the publicans. He was fellowshipping with the prostitutes. He did this with the sinner. He did. But in doing so, he also had to take time away to be with his Father. And he also didn't expect those sinners to remain where they were. He expected those sinners to answer the call to holy living, to come out from among that and be there as well, be separate as well. What direction am I going? How am I going to get there unless I'm following the prescribed path? Come out from among them. Sever yourselves from them. A devotement of all that I am, so that if I am God's, then it settles the issue of my direction. Where am I going? It settles my deportment or who I represent. It settles my duty. What am I doing? My occupation. What am I doing? What am I doing? Oh, I'm not going to talk to you about your occupation today. Some of you work in print shops. There's quite a few of you here that work in a print shop. I don't want to talk about your print shop work today. You do a good job. You do good work. I don't want to talk about your being a nurse this morning. You do a good job. I have no doubt about it. You're a good nurse. You work good in that area. You're good bus drivers. You're good at what you do. Graphic design and IT and I don't know what all details of your jobs are. Driving truck. I followed Jaron in a drive the other day, a couple of weeks ago or so, and you know he went through some places that he knows what he's doing. He does good. You guys do good at your job. That's not what I'm talking about. Talking about your occupation on the spiritual level. What are you doing? If I'm God's, it settles the issue of what I'm doing. Now that also includes what you're doing in your occupation on a daily basis. That includes that. But the bottom line, it comes back to my life. What am I doing? If I'm surrendered, if I'm dedicated, if I'm consecrated, if I am surrendered to Him, devoted to Him, it settles. If I am God's, it settles who I represent and what I'm doing and where I'm going. There's some great names in the past who have gone, given themselves. You know, Mueller's a name that stands out. That name probably doesn't ring a bell with everybody. I could probably call out Brother French as a great of yesteryear, and that doesn't ring a bell with everybody. There's all kinds of names that we can look at of people who proved in their life, they showed it in their life that they were completely surrendered. Completely surrendered. If I am God's, it settles the issue of... Think about that. If I am God's, it settles. What issue came to your mind? What issue came to your mind? If I am God's, it settles the issue of, are we listening for God's voice? Are we hearing God's voice? Is God speaking to us? Is God speaking to you? You know, I hate to bring this out into a public forum, but there's a lot of things that I say that my wife doesn't hear. Now, there's a few things that she says that I don't hear, but that's few. It's not that I'm not talking. It's that she's not hearing. I told you that. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. You had your earbuds in. You had something blaring in your ears. You weren't listening to me. That may be a little bit exaggerated, and maybe she would say it's a whole bunch exaggerated, but you know, I'm not even going to look at her this morning. You all have just been showering her with all kinds of blessing the last few weeks, and I probably shouldn't even approach the subject, but really, if that's exaggerated in any way, bring that exaggeration over into our own spiritual lives. Is God speaking to us and we have earbuds in and we're not hearing the situation, we're not hearing His call, we're not listening for His voice? If we can't hear Him speak, if we don't hear Him speak, then it's impossible for us to be able to get to the point to where I'm saying from my heart, from dedication and devotion and consecration and surrender and a death to my own will and way, it's impossible for me to say that if I'm God's, then it settles the issue of. Because I can't hear Him call me. I can't hear Him speak to me. I can't hear Him tell me what He wants me to do, how He wants me to live, where He wants me to go, what He wants me to say, what He wants me to wear. If I'm God's, it settles the issue of where I'm going and who I represent and what I'm doing. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. I think I'm going to end right there. I want God to get out of my life all that Calvary has provided. Did you hear that before? If you were listening last week, if you were here and listening last week, you should have. I want God to get out of my life all that Calvary has provided. It's a call to holy living. Can I hear Him? Am I hearing Him? Am I listening for His voice? To surrender a death to my will and my way, devoted to Him. Let's stand together this morning. The chorister said, I want the Lord to have His way with me, so I'll give Him more. Give Him all. A call to holy living. Praise God. Brother Rick Moore, would you dismiss us in prayer?